Well, good morning.
Morning.
Are you blessed this morning?
Amen.
You know, no matter what is going on in our lives, because Jesus loves us, because Jesus died for us, we are blessed. We are blessed. If you are visiting with us this morning, you and our guests, we really hope that you feel welcome. We hope that you feel the love of God's people and the presence of His Spirit. If you are our guest this morning, there's a card in the seat pocket in front of you. It's marked a guest with a blue stripe on the top. Would love for you to fill that out. At the end of the service, I'll be out in the foyer out here and would love to meet you and have a gift for you and just kind of get to know you. Or you can leave that card there in the seat if you would like. A few things going on. Just want to remind you, kind of, our last week for pitchers. Okay, a few of you, I had a couple groveling to me this morning that if you were groveled to me, that's okay. So you can call me during the week and say, hey, can I come by? And we've got our little backdrop set up, so I can do it during the week or someone else can. But we want to get you in our pictorial directory, but we want to get that printed here pretty quick, so get that picture made if you'd like to be in our directory. You do not have to be a member officially of our church. If you consider this your church home, we would love for you to be in our directory. Wednesday night, how many of you adults have your costume picked out? Woohoo! Yeah! A few that aren't party poopers. All the rest of you. No, I'm just kidding. It's okay. You can come to our fall festival without being dressed up. But it is Wednesday night. What is 6 or is it 5:30 or 6 it starts? What does the insert say? 6 to 8, right? Okay. 6 to 8. Please come. Bring friends. Bring neighbors. Bring grandchildren. Whatever, whoever you can round up. Bring them with you. We'd love to be a safe place for them to enjoy the evening. Quickly, this is kind of hard to. There's an insert in there about the Wesleyan Covenant Association. If you want to know more about that, I'll give you the highlights here. But you can see me or Billy, and we'll tell you more about that. But that is a our denomination is going through theological struggle right now. The Wesleyan Covenant Association represents people of a conservative theological perspective for the United Methodist Church, and we are connected with them. We will have a conference what is the dates for that? I've got it somewhere here. November the 9th. It's a Saturday, November the 9th, and the actual conference is going to be in Tulsa, Oklahoma, but we will have a simulcast here at the church. If you're interested in being here for that, let us know, and there's a lot of good information that will be shared there, and also just worship and sharing what I believe to be God's heart for our church. So, lots going on. Turn with me, if you would, to Malachi. We're not in Malachi every day. Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3. And if I was younger and cooler, I would say, turn your Bibles on. But I'm not young and cool, so turn with me if you will, is my phrase. I told you, Cheryl and I went to a church in, was that one in Kentucky? And we went to, and it was a fairly young crowd, and that's what the preacher said. Turn your Bibles on to... I went, oh, we in Kansas, man. Malachi 3. Now, notice, I want to bring your attention. Malachi 3, verse 10, there is, let me make sure the version I'm reading, I'm not telling you wrong here. Find it. Yeah. What I'll be reading to you, and it starts back in the middle of verse 8. But this is a quote. This is the Lord's words recorded by the prophet Malachi. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. So that's God speaking. and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we have invited you, and we trust because you are a God that has promised to be with us where two or more are gathered in your name. Well, we're gathered, Lord, and we're here in your name. So we trust that your Holy Spirit is here. Now, Holy Spirit, speak to us in power and authority in Jesus' name. Amen. So, continuing the sermon series I started last week, First Fruits, on my favorite topic, tithing. Yes? Don't you love it? I don't know if you love it as much as I do, but First Fruits is the name of the series, and today's sermon is called The Seduction of Stuff. We like our stuff, don't we? We just like our stuff. The Bible speaks more about money than any other topic. Why is that? And I said it last week, but I'm going to say it again. So please listen to the next few sentences here very carefully. I'm not preaching on giving because we're in financial trouble at the church. We're not. We're doing well. We're doing well. Not only are we able to pay our bills and do, but we're able to do really awesome things that I listed last week out in the world. We're doing well. So that's not the purpose. I was thinking earlier, you know, how many of you watch telethons? West Texas Rehab has a great telethon every year. And I don't know their financial situation, but I know it takes a lot of money to operate West Texas Rehabilitation Center, and they do a lot of great things. And they have that telethon to raise money so that they can operate. That's not why I'm preaching to you about this today. Everybody shake your head if you're hearing what I'm saying. That's not why I'm preaching it to you today. I'm preaching on stewardship for the same reasons that I preach on loving others. I'm preaching on stewardship because of the same reason that I preach on being a servant. I'm preaching on stewardship because of the same reason that I preach on living a holy life. Because God's Word says, be holy because I'm holy. It's important. I hope that when I preach on these topics, that I inform you, I hope I inspire you, and I hope the Holy Spirit convicts you, whatever the topic is. Because, see, I don't know about you, I don't have my act all together. God's still working on me. I need to be challenged, I need to be convicted in all kinds of topics. So I'm preaching on giving because God knows that when we tread in that area, that's why he spoke of it. So Jesus, it was his number one topic, was dealing with money. He did that because he knows when you start dwelling in that area, you're getting a little close. Because we like to cling to our stuff, don't we? And I put we intentionally there. We all like to cling to our stuff. I'm preaching on giving because God is a giver and he wants us to be like him. Not just financially, but just in all ways. And listen to this. We can look up different definitions of the word idol, but here's my definition of the word idol. Anything. Did anybody get that word? Anything. Anybody know that? You know the Greek or Hebrew of that? Anybody? Just so you know, you're supposed to unpack the word. Never mind. Anything that we place above God is an idol. Anything. Including this. There we go. How many of us got baptized like that? Now, I know, let me tell you, if I'm being real, I'm just getting real with you this morning, because the only way I know to hit this topic is to just throw it out there. I've been your pastor for 17 years, and I look back, the last time I preached on giving, forgive me, finance committee, I look back, it was 4 years ago. I don't like preaching on money for a lot of reasons. I don't want people thinking that, oh, there you go, there's another preacher just wants our money. That's number one. But also, It's the only topic that comes to my mind that I've actually had people upset with me after I've preached. Why is that? Why is that that I can preach about divorce, abortion, homosexuality, and all sorts of things that are really hot topics in our country and our society today? And I very rarely get a lot of that. Yeah. But when I preach on giving, on stewardship, it always comes back to me. At least one person was offended. Because God is getting a little close to our stuff. And I got a grip on my stuff. I believe that's why. Dave Ramsey, many of you know Dave Ramsey. He's a Christian financial advisor and an expert on all things money, but from a Christian perspective. And I went to his website and was just kind of looking around and saying, what does old Dave have to say about some of this stuff? Let me read to you a couple of paragraphs here from his website. The tithe was not put into place for God's benefit. And I would add there, or for Wiley Methodist's benefit. That's not why the tithe's in the Bible. It's not so we can pay the electric bill so the pastor can get his paycheck. That's not why tithing's in there. It was not put in for God's benefit. He already has everything he needs. He doesn't need our money. In fact, it's not our money, it's his anyway. That's what Dave Ramsey says. Tithing is an act of obedience and should be given freely with pure motives. In other words, we give without expecting anything back in return, and it teaches us to be good stewards of what God has given us. Tithing, you know, this gets kind of out there, a whole new concept. Tithing was created for our benefit, not for God's benefit. It teaches us how to keep God first in our lives and how to live unselfishly. Now, I love this next sentence. Stay with me here. We're still with Dave Ramsey's website. Unselfish people make better spouses. Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? Unselfish people make better spouses, better friends, better relatives, better employees, and employers. And they usually have better finances. Remember, he says, no one has ever become poor by giving. Hello. Have you ever heard about that? That someone's like, man, they just gave and gave and gave and gave, and now they're holding a sign on the street corner. I've never heard of it. Now, so, last week's sermon on this topic I entitled Without You, and I went through, and I'm not going to go through it again, but I went through, and I just scratched the surface, really, but I went through a whole list of things that has ministry that's come out of this church because of your generosity. Because of you, I won't say that's a bad word, because of your faithfulness. That's a better word. I went through a whole list of people's lives who've been impacted and touched, and all sorts of great things have happened because of your faithfulness. Without you, those things would not have happened. Let me rephrase that. Without you, we wouldn't have had the blessing of seeing those things happen. God can make it happen. He doesn't need us. He blesses us. What a great privilege. I say this all the time to our staff. It's like, to be bearers of the good news of Jesus Christ is a privilege. It is an awesome gift. We have the awesome gift of being bearers of the good news of Jesus Christ. And not just as a ministry staff, but as Christians. And part of that is how we can bless with the blessings God has given us. Before I get into the real meat, you probably thought, I thought we was already meeting there, preacher. Before I get into kind of unpacking this scripture a little bit more, I want to explain something to you about kind of how our church, how we work, and and how financial decisions are made, and a big one that's kind of out there tossing around right now. We have committees that are, we have a nominations committee that nominates people to be on the finance committee and the trustees, which oversees our any of our building assets or any sort of real estate. We have a church council, which is kind of the ultimate board, administrative church council. We have a, what's called an SPRC, which is our personnel committee. And all these committees are, the members are nominated by this nominations committee, and then they're approved by either by an all-church vote or a church council vote, depending on how the district sets it up that year. So, trustees. Our trustee committee is entrusted with making sure that our facilities are adequate to do the ministry that God's called us to do. Make sure that we have enough Sunday school classrooms, make sure that the building's not fixing to fall down on itself, make sure our sanctuary is adequate in space and so on and so forth. About 2 weeks ago or so, we have been evaluating. In fact, some of you may not know, our church bought about 5 or 6 years ago 10 acres of land, went through all the committees, all church vote. We bought 10 acres of land on Buffalo Gap Road, just south of the Mesa Springs, with the idea that someday we may outgrow this facility and need to build a new church. So we bought that land, and we've owned it for 5 or 6 years. So we've been on our radar with the trustees. We've been watching and looking and praying about timing on all of that. About 2 weeks ago, we got word that the first Nazarene Church on 707 out here, big gray stucco church just east of Beltway, was for sale. So the trustees began to do some research. It's like, hey, would this be something we might want to consider? We've actually done a couple of walkthroughs through that facility as the trustee committee, and we also took some of our staff. And we have made them an offer contingent. I want you to hear this, rest of this, contingent upon if the offer was accepted, it would come back to the whole church, and the whole church would have a chance to speak to this and to vote on this. Is this something good for us? But we have made an offer to trade buildings with them because their building is around 9 or 10,000 square feet larger than ours. We could get into that facility for dramatically cheaper, about, I think we've calculated roughly a fourth of what it would take to duplicate that building if we built new construction. They have a gym, they have a larger, they seat 9,000, I'm sorry, 900. We seat around 450, 500 in our sanctuary. Many things that we could grow into that facility better. If they have not, we have not heard back from them about our interest. If they say, yes, we're interested in doing this, we will come to you, okay? I don't want anyone to think, oh, man, they're fixing to sell the church. I didn't even know about it. Because we're a church body, okay? We don't just, you know, six people don't just make big decisions like that for us. And I don't make big decisions like that for us. So I want you to know that we are trying to be good stewards of your tithe. And that's going on right now. I just wanted you to know that. If you hear it through the grapevine, you've perhaps heard it here first. I will let you know, the trustees will let you know if they come back and say, yes, we are interested in a deal like that, because we've already told them it's contingent upon our church's approval, and we'd also have to have district approval as well if anything like that were going to happen. Okay, I'm moving on, charging on. Number one, as we unpack the scripture, as we look at this, God instructs us to tithe. Now, again, I read earlier that from Ramsey's side, it's like tithing is not to God's benefit. He instructs us to tithe for our benefit and not just so that we can pay for new buildings and stuff. He knows that our hearts need that. And he says in this passage in Malachi, he says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. What is a tithe? Well, biblically, we look at that word, and it means a tenth. It means a tenth. Now, I understand some of you are tithers and even beyond your 10% tithe. I understand that some of you don't give anything. I understand that some of you just give a little bit or somewhere in between the 10% and nothing. I understand we're all over the board in here. I get that. But I'm just telling you what God's word says, bring the whole tithe. He doesn't say bring some of the tithe or bring what feels right to you or whatever. It's like bring the whole tithe. Now, the problem is we also, as I said, when we unpacked that word idol, I mean, man, I'm telling you, I'm at the front of the line. I think about the money I spend on stuff every month, like cell phones and internet connections and satellite dishes. And I'm not a coffee drinker, but I know many of you, if you didn't have your $5 cup of coffee in the morning, man, it's like Jesus is coming back today. But I mean, you know, we start adding up the stuff that we spend, and it's like, and yet, if with the Lord, it's like somehow it just, he's down here and he needs to be up here. 2 Corinthians, Paul says it this way, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, I would add there, not because the preacher's preaching on it or because he thinks it makes it a good person, but what we decide in our heart to give, it's like, who has our heart? Who has it? God loves a cheerful giver, and so many of you are cheerful givers. I see it. I'll tell you, when I get a need, and I mentioned this several weeks ago, when I get a need and somebody says, hey, you know, my husband lost his job and he's injured, and we've had this happen many times. He's in the hospital, he's injured, he's broken his back or his leg or whatever, and he can't do, he works with his hands, he's a physical worker, laborer. He can't support his family. It's like, I am never afraid to go to the church and go, we got a family. Let me tell you about this family. And here's their need. And it just starts coming in because so many of you are cheerful givers. God instructs us to tithe. I'm sorry if that hurts your feelings or that offends you or you think that I'm out of line by saying, he just instructs us to tithe for our own good. Secondly, tithing honors God. It doesn't. Did you know God's not poor? It doesn't make God rich. It doesn't meet any of his financial needs. It honors him. He's like, look, I can just see him. It's like if all these people who are faithful with their finances are out there, and he said, look at my children. Aren't they good givers? Don't they have a giving heart? Can't you just see God just throwing his chest out? It honors him. Honor the Lord with your wealth, Proverbs 3:9. With the first fruits of all your crops. Not like what's left over. It's like, hey, I'm going to do all this stuff. Some of it I mentioned a while ago. I'm going to do all this stuff with my money. It's like, hey, God, I got 50 bucks left for you. That's all I got this month, God. 50 bucks. Like, no, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, the first fruits. Leviticus says it this way, a tithe of everything from the Lord, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. And again, it's not to bless the Lord. It's not to raise him up above the poverty line. Third, God tests us to test him. Nowhere else in Scripture does God give us permission to test him. Did you know that? What is that about? God doesn't say, do all these, you know, go out and serve all these wonderful meals at the food pantry and see if I, or go and pass out turkeys on Turkey Tuesday, and I want you, I'll bless you, or build a house for the poor, and I'll bless. No, he says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Test me in this and see what happens. Just try it. That's what I hear God saying. It's just man, just trust me with your finances. Let go of it. Test me in this. See if I'm not faithful. Man, that's pretty heavy. The only topic in the Bible that God gives us permission to test him. Fourth, God says he instructs us to tithe. He honors. He says it'll honor him, and he says to test him. Then he says it will bless us if we tithe. Now, there are a lot of pastors. I've mentioned this before. There's a lot of preachers that, especially the televangelists, that come at you in the prosperity gospel. You know, send us $100 and watch God's going to multiply that 10 times over. By the week's end, you're going to have $1,000 just come, you know, walking up and with the mailman. No, it's not like that. Part of the blessing is, I mean, just seeing what God is going to do with that. I mentioned it last week, all the things. I tell you, it just blesses my heart. When it's a little thing, but many of you buy turkeys on Turkey Tuesday, and we go over there, and man, I've had people just almost in tears, just thanking us for a turkey, you know, a $15 turkey, but it's not just the turkey, but it's communicating to them, God loves you, God has not forgotten you. And I don't know, there's not any grocery stores that give those turkeys away. We have to buy those. Bring the whole tithe and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room for it. And I think I have seen in my own life that when you're financially faithful to God, he's faithful to you. I mean, Cheryl and I, we've lived it. We've walked it out. And there were some years where, man, we didn't have two nickels to rub together through our transition to ministry. We try to remain faithful with the little that we had. And he never let us down. And you know what? As I'm saying that, what I'm thinking is he generally was faithful to us and communicated his faithfulness to us through other Christians. I mean, I'm just saying, during our rough times, I've said this story before, but I was on a walk to Emmaus, and I gave a talk, and we were on this walk to Emmaus, and it was during that dry time, and my talk was, I was defining the bills that we had stacking up, and I laid it out, and my message was not, hey, I need money. My message was, but God is faithful. He's faithful. He's going to take care of Cheryl and I. And before the next day, amen. The people of that walk had collected, I don't remember exactly what it was. No, it was around 1,200. I didn't expect it. I didn't want that. I was not anything that you know, that was we expected to come our way. But God, through his people, man, when we're in that season, God blesses us. And I, as blessed as I was receiving that, I'm telling you, the ones who put their money in the envelope were blessed to see my reaction when I received it. Yeah. It's just, man, it's like dropping a rock in a pond. It just, those ripples go everywhere when we're faithful. Honor the Lord, Proverbs 3:9, with your wealth, the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. You see, he will bless us. He will take care of us. He will not forget. I'm doing something totally different. I've got on my heart yesterday. This was going to be my last message, this probably for another 4 years, on giving. No, Naomi, I promise, it wouldn't be. Naomi gets her bullwhip. You got to preach on giving. No, you don't. She really doesn't. But I had a change of plans yesterday. Next week, if this works out, if it doesn't, we'll do something else. Next week, you're going to be the sermon. I've got 10 $100 bills here. And here's what I want you to do, or I want you to prayerfully consider. If you feel so led, I want you to come up here in just a minute, and I want you to take one of these $100 bills. And I want you to pray about it, pray over that $100. I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me do with this $100? Well, should I give it to the pizza guy that looks like they're struggling? Should I see somebody at the grocery store that the Lord convicts like that's the one right there? Whatever the Lord lays on your heart. But if you come and get one of these $100 bills, I want you, you don't really have to preach a sermon, but I want you to be open to, not forced to, but open to next week. I'm going to open up the pulpit to the ones who take these to come and say, I gave mine to so-and-so, and here was their reaction. Here's what I experienced from that. So next week, the plan is you will be the sermon. So, and I'm prepared for no one to come get any of these. I am prepared for that. But I'm also prepared that we'll have people up here arm wrestling. No, I want that one. There's 10 of them. If the Lord's convicting your heart, don't resist that. He'll give you courage. Bow your heads with me if you would, just a second. Lord, this is your money, and these are your people. You're teaching us something here, Lord. I'm not sure what all you've got to teach us, but you're teaching us something. I pray that your Holy Spirit would move in this place, move in our hearts. And we pray for each one of these bills to be the love of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. If you feel so convicted, I'm inviting you to come and take a bill.